fall. Baby, it's not mine. Not a chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Right smack dab in the middle of it. Right smack dab in the middle. We are right smack dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. Boy, there's a new scandal brewing in Congress. I mean, isn't there always this veteran scandal? The Financial Times of London has an article out today. Veteran scandal risk engulfing Obama. By Jeff Dyer in Washington, their Washington correspondent there for the Financial Times. And he's saying amid contrived outrage over Benghazi and the improving fortunes of his health care reform, the Obama administration could be facing a genuine scandal about its treatment of military veterans that has the potential to attract broad political condemnation of its competence. Well, Mr. Dyer, I would beg to differ with you the way you started this article, amid contrived outrage. There's not contrived outrage, Benghazi. There's genuine outrage. And, Mr. Dyer, in addition, there's been a special select committee formed, and we're underway with an investigation. Now, he goes on to say the Department of Veterans Affairs is facing mounting evidence that some of the hospitals it runs has been keeping two sets of books to make it look as if they were reducing waiting times to a doctor. This isn't looking good, not at all. And it goes on, Richard Griffin, the department's acting inspector general, admitted on Thursday that that its review could lead to criminal charges and so forth. I mean, there is beginning to be one scandal after another. The IRS, the Benghazi. I mean, it's now the VA. This Benghazi thing is very, very serious, and it's beginning to take on some very ominous characteristics. They've just, it took a little over a week, to Valerie Jarrett out of Chicago, the lady that got Michelle her first job, and Richard Daley, the junior's office there in mayor, and then brought her over to the hospital with her. So, I mean, Valerie Jarrett, there could be Benghazi problems there. We're just going to have to wait and see. But this White House is beginning to be under attack. And now this VA thing is beginning to hit and the scandal. And there's no telling where that might lead. There's been scandals, in my opinion, for years because all of the administrations, including Jimmy Carter, little Jimmy Carter, his and forward have left the POWs behind in Vietnam. And that's the real bone that I have to pick with all of these administrations, much less the latest VA scandal. In 2005, according to Peter R. Bragan, they changed the policy in the Pentagon and started allowing, these psychotropic psychiatry drugs to be administered to our troops. Do we need psychiatric drugs administered to our troops? No, we don't need that at all. These are just some of the problems in Washington, D.C., and the pharmaceuticals drove that need, that perceived need, to give our combat troops those psychotropic drugs, like Prozac was one of them, and there's three others. I mean, and, they were handing them out like candy in these combat zones. No wonder our combat troops are coming over and they're experiencing the highest rate, you know, of suicide, more suicides than combat deaths. So, you know, this latest scandal, there are patients that died, though, because they falsified books about treatment, about securing treatment. Now, that's getting really, really, you know, very, very criminal. And he just said, this special investigator said just recently to Congress that there could be criminal charges, you know. The country is in an uproar, see. We're beginning to take on a police state, characteristics of police state. The policemen and military, God bless them, they've been conditioned into a state to think that these crazy patriots out here are these Tea Party people are off their, you know, rocker, and that they're dangerous for thinking and holding up for the Constitution. I should say not. We're not dangerous. I sat down with a lady recently, and you could tell that, you know, she comes from that liberal democratic slant. And I told her, I said, "Well, lady," I said, "when we went out down to end the Fed rallies, there wasn't any liberal Democrats with us." See, so what is going on in the country is that, and this is everyone that's being conditioned. I'm not just saying the liberal Democrats. You've got the people on the right. And this first hour, Charlotte is going to come up with Jeff Charlotte. Okay. We're going to do a replay here. And Jeff Charlotte came up with the family, you know, out of Washington. He described it as a cult. It's a very religiously Christian based type of organization. But it has ominous types of characteristics, sort of like an imperial type of religious thing worldwide in a way, but using the might and the military might of the American military fighting machine. So this first hour is going to be a replay of Jeff Charlotte. And then the second hour, we're going to get into to fascism and that second hour. Farrell Montgomery and I, we booked our flights in the other day with some help from a good friend of ours. And so we're off and running to Copenhagen, even though we could use some frequent flyer miles to accompany, another person accompany us that would be very, very prized a part of our production team. But we're definitely will be in Copenhagen. I think we land there on the 28th of May, and we'll be there from the 28th and be leaving on the 2nd of June. There's a lady, Charlotte Bjorg Poulsen, over there that's organizing well over 500 people on the ground. She went down and met with the police there right across from the Marriott Hotel there, Marriott, you know, Copenhagen Marriott Hotel in downtown Copenhagen, and worked out details about what they could do and couldn't do. And she really needs some help. So if you could go on Facebook and you can find her in there, it would be Bilderberg 2014. And it's a group. She had problem with Shields coming in and messing up her page and everything. So she went ahead and converted it over to a group. She's a very hard-working lady, a Dane that believes in freedom and so forth. And, boy, there's no one better than her. We're not only going to have some really top people come in, and we're finalizing some of the top people in the world right now to speak on different subjects. We're going to have about 12 subjects, 12 main major world problems. And also we're going to spice it up with some local party leaders. We have the Free Party coming in, the leader of the Free Party coming in, Bo Johnson is the founder and one of the leaders of the Free Party. And he sounds like a Jeffersonian, and he talks about individualism is better than collectivism and things like that. It's amazing what's going on out here. And there are people rising up because they know that this collective thing was Fabian socialism coming in out of the UK for years. And all they want is at the bottom, and I've said this before, they want a collective state, a communist state, resembling something between socialism and communism. And then there's the capstone at the top of this whole thing is going to be a corporate fascist, a type of organized mechanism, see. I've been studying this for about 30 years now, so I've looked at all different aspects of it, and it gets back to a bunch of crazy people running the world, you know. A good friend of mine describes them as psychopaths. You hear that name, that description of these people more often than before. Some things that are going on in Copenhagen is that the Dong Electrical corporation over there, Goldman Sachs, recently bought an interest in it, and it really raised the ire of the Danish people. And now the present government's having trouble, and the Christian Democrats approved this purchase of a certain percentage of the Dong Electrical Corporation by Goldman Sachs. And the Danish are, there was a big outcry that Goldman Sachs was not a good company, that it had a bad track record, and they didn't want Goldman Sachs to own any of their so-called public utilities. What they've done with these types of utilities is that they've opened them up to purchase of certain percentages by pension funds, and now Goldman Sachs has an interest in Dong, D-O-N-G, and the Danish people are fighting mad about it. And the recent poll over there in Denmark shows that about 68% of the people disapproved of the purchase or the sale of part of that utility Dong to Goldman Sachs. So, you know, the Danish people are pretty smart. They've just been corralled by this power elite. You could say this world power elite. Have actually, if you look at Denmark today, it is a model of the New Age movement, of not only New Age, but the New World Order. You know what I mean? World government, the greening of Denmark, and the sustainability which came out of the Club of Rome. We're going to go over there, and we'll be discussing with the good Danish people there coming to our symposium. And the symposium, we don't have a venue yet. We're still tacking that down. But the dates of the symposium is called We the People Bilderberg. WeThePeopleBilderberg.com is the website. So go in there and scroll down. Look for chip in. We do need some help. Go ahead and chip in $10, $15, $20, $100 if you can manage it. We have expenses to cover, and we're gradually working towards lining up a greater number of speakers. And it takes money to arrange and organize this whole thing. The Danish people are good people, you know, but there again, like I was saying just a few minutes earlier, is that they have been corralled and structured into a system that the New World Order, is structuring and building, you know. But the problem is that the tax rate, the taxes, we were looking today at different rental rates and the cost of goods and services in Denmark, and all the goods and services are horrendously very high. And for example, is that the average citizen, okay, collective, when you, if you take all of the taxes together, not only the personal income tax and all that other, but you talk VAX, you know, value added taxes, and this tax and that tax, and you add up all of those taxes together, you're going to come up to where the average citizen in Denmark pays about 80% of their income in taxes. Now, you know, you can say, oh, they get free this and free that, but no, nothing is free. It has to be paid for. Nothing is free, and it's going to take someone's income, and you're going to transfer that to someone else. And if that someone else didn't want that income transferred for that specific service or whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, this is part of the new system, the new world order, highly taxed, socialized, very collective, at the bottom, and it's moving towards less and less ownership by individuals and greater ownership of all the goods and services and so forth by larger and larger corporations. This week, I'll tell you, the mere size of the government is not shrinking. It never has. All we're seeing is there's these new FCC initiatives out here where they're going to try to give us a faster internet for a better price and all this. The net neutrality bunch, which is most of your service providers and all that, are struggling very, very vehemently against any kind of a faster, more preferred channel on the internet and things like that. There is something that I needed to say before I close out this discussion, this first hour, this comments before we begin that replay, rebroadcast. MERS, okay? MERS stands for Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, okay? The greatest number of cases into the hundreds is in Saudi Arabia, okay? There are sequences that these viruses, they recombined, okay? And I'm not an expert on this, but deferring to the real experts, if you look at our site, you'll be able to see a click-off of some of the latest information on some of the viruses, this MERS virus that's coming out of Saudi Arabia. There was recently a health care official, individual coming out of Saudi Arabia to relocate or visit the Orlando area. He started coming down with symptoms of the virus, in Orlando, was hospitalized, okay? The hospital that he was at set off two more cases just being exposed to him. According to the experts, this MERS and this particular sequenced type that he's suffering from is highly contagious. And so that's what makes it very, very dangerous. So I want you to come in, if you haven't already come into our site, and look at that information on MERS and try to understand. In Saudi Arabia, there were about six cases that had almost the exact sequence order. Now, that is at two different hospitals. And these six different cases at two separate hospitals and in two separate, by the way, two separate cities, okay? Would indicate a very ominous laboratory-created virus possibly here. So we've got to look at this very cautiously, but very moderately. Those particular six cases, according to this expert, and you can go in to our site right now and look at that, click on, he said it's a reach that all six people would be contaminated by, the same camel at the same time, see. The source of the contamination for the sequencing to be the same would have to be from the same source, according to the experts. And this MERS in these six particular cases had exactly the same sequence order. So, meaning that they had to have been contaminated by some source, see. So if you're creating something in a laboratory and then you take that source out and you contaminate four or five or six people without it being going through another person and then recontaminate another time, they're combining of these viruses where they'll change and the sequence will change slightly from person to person is my understanding. If you have a source and you contaminate six people, that sequence will be the same. This is what seemed to be indicated over in Saudi Arabia. So that would give rise to the idea that there was a laboratory virus. This was a laboratory virus, and it was used to contaminate these six people that had the exact same sequence. Okay. Now that's basically what we're talking about here. So you've got to be very, very careful in discussing this, and I am, like I say again, I'm not an expert in this area. I want you to click off on that hypertext link right below this first hour, and then go in there and see what you think about and begin to look into this stuff yourself. We can, on the air, we're not experts in all these different areas, so we can only tell you a little bit of what we think is going on. See, otherwise, we bring on to the air consistently some of the real experts in these different areas, and you're going to learn a greater number of insights, you know, as time goes on by listening to these different, you know, guests that we have and so forth. You know, it works in that way, and so it's not easy. See. The second hour coming up after this one is Robert Paxton. He's author of The Anatomy of Fascism. So anyway, I want you to listen carefully to Paxton, and we certainly welcome and we thank everyone in our listening audience out there, and we can't, bend over any more than we can to help, try to help this country than we're doing right now. We are exposing ourselves, but we need you to go in to We the People, Bilderberg.com. Go down there to that chip in, give $10, $20. You're going to get a webcast for your money at liveonlocation.tv. So go in there and help us, and we certainly do enjoy these weekly visits with you. And we certainly will bring you a program from Copenhagen and on the 30th and 31st of May. So watch on our sites there for that programming tip. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Secret Truth. This is George Butler along with my co-host,
Charlotte Littlefield. Good evening, George.
Charlotte, how are you doing? Okay. How's the weather up there? Okay.
It's a beautiful fall up here in the Midwest. I hope you guys are doing well down there in Texas.
Okay, our guest tonight is coming to us from Salt Lake City. So it's the miracle of high tech, I guess. Jeff Charlotte is the author of C Street, The Fundamentalist Threat to American Democracy. He's written some other things along the same lines. And he's also author of The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power, another national best-selling narrative history. But let's let him tell us a little bit more about himself. Welcome to our program, Jeff Charlotte.
Hi, George. Hi, Charlotte. Good to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
Jeff, you've written quite a bit. In fact, I believe, did you not do an internship at C Street there, or was that the Cedars?
Well, in my first book on this subject, The Family, I describe living with this group, The Family, the oldest and most influential Christian right organization in Washington, for a little less than a month, something I wrote about first for Harper's Magazine. And in that capacity, I was it wasn't an internship. I was just sort of living in with them in a group home they had for sort of young men who were being groomed for future leadership. And I met a number of the politicians involved and was sent over to C Street at times to serve. And that was my introduction to the group. And then I moved on and discovered they dumped about 600 boxes of documents in the Billy Graham archives, and decided to write about it. And I've been writing about it for some years in Harper's and Rolling Stone magazine, where I also work. And,
fascinating.
To try and dig up this whole story of this a different kind of fundamentalism, not the pulpit pounders, not the Bible thumpers, but the self-described avant-garde of American fundamentalism, and that's who The Family is.
Right. There have been scandals that have been unfolding in the last several years or so. Has this created a lot of attention to this particular group, especially the C House there? And is not C House, is that on C Street, which, I should say C Street, is that along the avenue there in Washington, D.C., where all the lobbyists' office?
You're thinking of K Street. It's not too far
from there. I'm sorry.
C Street, the C Street house is a three-story red brick townhouse. It's registered as a church, which makes it tax-exempt, and the family uses it to provide subsidized housing to congressmen. It's located just across the street from the Library of Congress, down the street from Congressional Office Building, Supreme Court. Nice location. You've got congressmen living there, Christian college women providing maid service, cook and everything. And last summer in 2009, it became famous because of a number of Republican sex scandals. First, you had Senator John Ensign, fourth-ranking Republican Ensign of Nevada, who confessed to an extramarital affair. These are all guys who, real family values guys, always hitting the drum of morality, and it turns out they had a challenge with it themselves. Next was Governor Mark Sanford, Republican of South Carolina, and a even brighter presidential prospect, a guy who's, you know, thought to be sort of the head of the pack for 2012 consideration. And he was doing well until he redefined the Appalachian Trail as leading all the way into his mistress's arms in Argentina. Listeners may recall he said he was away hiking on the Appalachian Trail. In fact, he was in Argentina with his mistress. And third was Congressman Chip Pickering, Mississippi, former Congressman Chip Pickering, who actually rendezvoused with his mistress in the C Street House. His mistress was a lobbyist, a telecom lobbyist. He became a lobbyist. And all these guys had this connection. Ensign lived there. Pickering had lived there, and Sanford went there for spiritual counsel. He even sent his wife there to have them have the men of C Street explain to her her wifely responsibility to this man who of a weak commitment to his marriage. And in her testimony, Jenny Sanford describes being told that she should not present a challenging voice to him, if that was something for men to decide. But meanwhile, she was to keep him sexually satisfied because he has selected for office. He was anointed for office by God. He had big responsibilities. So you see the sexism, the arrogance of power that was sort of defining C Street. And I should say it's not just those guys. There's a lot of Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina lives there. Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma lives there. Senator Jim Inhofe, also of Oklahoma, boasts about the political meetings he holds there. A number of other congressmen have cycled through the C Street House.
You know, have not all the great thinkers over the millenniums talked about the ego problem and this arrogance of ego that men in power seem to attain? I mean, it's just that they lose control. Is that not true?
I think that is a question beyond my expertise. Certainly these men lost control, but the story to me that's important about the C Street House is not that these guys are family value so-called guys who were messing around on their wives. You know, adultery is no good, but, I'm just not interested in other people's, you know, their failings are their own. What is important about this is the way in which two things, one, the way in which these guys are interfering with other people's lives, other people's ability to make decisions about who they love and want to be with, even as they don't hold themselves to that standard. And two, the function that C Street played in covering up these affairs. So, for instance, in the Senator Ensign scandal, Senator Coburn acted as a middleman to arrange payments to the mistress's family. That's now the subject of a Justice Department investigation. You take that whole mess, and what I did in the new book, C Street, is I took that and I followed the money and the ideas out from C Street and out into the world. What is the effect they are having? I mean, this sounds nasty and sleazy, but what effect does this have on the broader world? And I looked especially at foreign affairs. I looked at the ways in which Senator Inhofe, for instance, is traveling overseas on the taxpayer's dime to, as he puts it, to, quote, promote the political philosophy of Jesus as taught to him by the family. And he's doing that on our dime. He doesn't believe in separation of church and state. He calls it the phoniest idea. But then you got to say, well, what do they mean by the political philosophy of Jesus? And let me give you a quote here again. If you can hear this online, the sermon's online. Doug Coe, the longtime leader of the group, leader of the family, the group behind the C Street House, describing what he means by Jesus, says, you know how Jesus, this is a quote, you know how Jesus said you got to put him before mother, father, brother, sister. That's a scriptural citation. He says, that's what Hitler, Lenin, Mao taught the kids. Mao even had the kids killing their own parents, but it wasn't murder, you see. It was for building the new nation, building the new kingdom. Now, he's not saying that he likes Mao or Hitler. He says, these are terrible men. These are evil men. He likes the methods, not their ends, but the methods. He aspires to what the family in its early days called totalitarianism for Christ. That's a dangerous, dangerous idea, and when they put it into practice in domestic policy here in the United States or in foreign affairs, they pursue a private and very aggressive religious agenda using taxpayer dollars, that's when they've crossed the line.
Right. What I found interesting in doing the research for this program in your interview was that this National Prayer Breakfast is not just one morning where they have a breakfast. It's a whole week of activities that they hold, and they bring people in from all over the world. So this is turned into a network, a power network, but using Jesus Christ as a facade. Would that not be accurate?
That might be accurate. I'm hearing some music coming out of that. Does that mean we're going to a break?
We're going to go to a break. We've got about 10, 15 seconds to go. But we'll come back and get into that in just a second. But thank you for being with us, and we'll be right back. Jeff Charlotte, thank you. Author of the C Street Fundamentalist Christian Marriage. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with my co-host.
Welcome back to our guest, Jeff Charlotte. Jeff, I'd like to give out your website to the listening audience. That's Jeff and Charlotte. It's spelled SHARLET.com. And, Jeff, not to diverge too far from the serious matters that we're discussing, I'm curious about your last name. What is your last name? What's its origin?
It's Jewish.
It's Jewish?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jewish on my father's side, and Christian on my mother's side.
I see. Yeah, I have a lot of people attempt to spell my name Sharlet.
Yeah.
And I have to tell people it's the French, it's the Charl, and as far as that goes. But I just wanted to introduce to the listening audience that you've got a spectacular array of information available at your website, jeffcharlotte.com. You seem to be a superior communicator of strategic important information, and so I'd like to turn the conversation back over to you gentlemen and see where you were going. So thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, this National Prayer Breakfast, is that one of the family's national annual type events? And was it 3,500 plus guests there? I mean, that's a big deal, isn't it?
It is a very big deal. This is one of the stories I tell in the book, C Street, Fundamentalist Threat to American Democracy. The National Prayer Breakfast was created in 1953 by this organization and has gone on since. You know, back when it was created, they had the idea that they wanted to consecrate the nation's leadership to Christ. They didn't believe in the First Amendment, that says Congress shall establish no law. Shall make no law establishing regarding the establishment of sedition. I'm mangling the First Amendment. That's shame on me. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Well, they didn't really care for that, and they wanted to consecrate the nation's leadership to Christ. And they went to Franklin Roosevelt and said, "Would you be our guest at this thing?" And he said, "No." Then they went to Harry Truman and they said, "Would you be our guest?" And he said, "No." And then they went to Eisenhower, and Eisenhower said no as well, but as Billy Graham tells the story in his memoir, he owed political favors to evangelicals. He agreed to go. He said, "I hope this doesn't become a tradition," and of course it did. It did become a tradition. Today, people go into the prayer breakfast, think it's a public event. Your invitation comes on congressional letterhead. If you're a reporter like me, you RSVP to the White House. But the reality is this is a private, sectarian, religious event. And the story I tell in the book, in C Street, is of the organization behind it that uses the event as the kind of linchpin of a really massive week-long lobbying fest. You've got the president always speaks. President, who's going to say they're against prayer? Most of Congress attends, about 4,000 people, world leaders from all over. And as I report in the book, when you look at who those world leaders are, the delegations from foreign nations, most often headed by defense ministers who are there because they understand the function of this thing as a kind of lobbying festival. So it's an abuse of the First Amendment, and frankly it's something that should bother Christian folks just as much as secular folks, because it's an abuse of their faith. It's really a desecration of the idea of prayer.
Jeff, there seems to be a large portion of the American population that are under the impression that America, it was intended to be a Christian theocracy, much like the Islamic theocracies, pseudo-democracies that we see in the Middle East, much like Iran or the other countries. What are your thoughts about, do you think that that type of illusion has been spread throughout our country?
Yeah. I mean, you know, frankly, when you've got folks like Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, part of the group, says separation of church is the phoniest idea there ever was. Well, what he's saying is that the First Amendment of our Bill of Rights of the Constitution provides us all our freedoms. He's saying that's the phoniest idea there ever was. The Constitution, we have to remember, is what you call a godless document. That doesn't mean that it's against God. It means that the word God does not appear in it. And the reason it doesn't appear in it is because when we go back, we don't have to do any guessing. We don't have to do any debating or arguing on this point because they had that debate at the Constitutional Convention, the founders, and they said, this is not a country, this is not a Christian nation. That came up for debate, and they rejected it. It has to be open to everybody. It has to be based on what one of the, this is a sort of a pre-founder, one of the really important guys of American history, not remembered as well as he should be, Roger Williams. Roger Williams, founder of Rhode Island, but more important, the founder or the man who gave to us this idea of liberty of conscience, freedom of religion, the freedom of religion that guarantees that everybody, fundamentalists, liberals, everybody can have their free expression. And, you know, that's the story I'm trying to tell in this book, Z Street, is how part of our political leadership has really lost hold of that. And what they do when they abandon the idea of religious freedom for everybody. And you're right, a lot of Americans do think that this is supposed to be a Christian nation. All they need to do is read the Constitution.
Let me ask you this. This is a little off to the side, but what about AIPAC, the Israel's lobby? As far as how much time the AIPAC lobby gets as opposed to, in comparison to how much time the family, the Christian Right, the C Street gang gets, what would be the comparison there on the access to the halls of power?
Well, I'm not quite sure how to answer that question. AIPAC is of course very powerful. The NRA is very powerful. The oil industry is very powerful, and so is the family. I mean, access to the halls of power. When we're talking about the family, we're talking about Senator Jim DeMint, Senator John Thune, Senator Tom Coburn, Senator Sam Brownback, senators,
right.
They're not access to the halls of power. They are the power.
Right. Well, the reason why I pick AIPAC specifically is because they are a, quote, Jewish nation. I mean, they are a religious based lobby group, just like C Street would be.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. Is the family closely aligned with AIPAC?
No. It's okay. A Christian fundamentalist organization. Look, I'm no defender of AIPAC.
Okay.
I'm not either. I'm no defender.
Let me speak here. I'm no defender of AIPAC. What I'm trying to say here is that there's more than one power base. Now, there's an important difference between, there's an important difference between AIPAC and C Street. While I'm no defender of AIPAC, I happen to disagree, as I think many American Jews strongly disagree with their approach. The reason I can disagree, the reason it's easy for me to disagree is because I know who they are. I know what they do. They're registered as a lobby. They're registered as a lobby. The difference here, this isn't a left-right issue. This is a transparency issue. The family is not registered. The leader of the group, in a sermon that you can now hear online, the leader of the group, Doug Coe, says the more invisible you can make your organization, the more influence it will have. You know, that's true. That's why we have lobbying laws and disclosure laws. That's why I'll go out there and I'll defend fundamentalist organizations. If they're registered and out in the open, we can have that debate, that public debate.
Right. Very good point. Can you come back for one more segment after this break?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to take another break here, and then we'll come back and flesh this out. And I think C Street there, they've been disallowed some tax-free benefits also recently. We'll get right back with you. Thank you for being with us, Jeff. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler along with my co-host,
Charlotte Littlefield, and welcome back to our guest, Jeff Charlotte at jeffcharlotte.com. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hi, Charlotte. Good to be back.
Yeah, you make a good point, Jeff, in the sense that AIPAC is a registered political action committee, while the family, they specifically state in their material that they want to be, the more invisible they are, then the more powerful or more influential they can be. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's it exactly. You know, to go back to those First Amendment matters that are so important, folks out there who may take issue, remember the late Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson or Jim Dobson, the Christian Coalition, they don't like those organizations. There's folks out there don't like those organizations and see them as undemocratic, I mean democratic with a small d. The reason that we can disagree with those organizations or with AIPAC or anything is because we know that they exist. That, you know, when you think of democracy as like a public square, everyone gets to come in and say their piece and make their case. You do that in the public square, then we can disagree with you. We know where you stand. It's the organizations that really work behind the scenes that are I think, a threat to democracy. Now, I happen to disagree with AIPAC very strongly. But, again, that's the whole point. I can do that. I know where they are. If I don't like AIPAC, I know the problem is I can tell my congressman to say, I want you to vote against their approach. That's what we kind of have to remember when we look at these powerful Washington players.
Well, what is it about AIPAC that that you would not agree with their approach, or what? What would you?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I mean, if this, I thought we were going to be talking about my book, C Street.
Let's
I'm so
that.
Sorry.
I have a comment.
Why don't you tell me what you disagree with about AIPAC?
Well, what I see is this, basically, that's going on. These are some of the dynamics, and it actually addresses and speaks specifically and directly to what you've written, I believe, and I think you would buoyant that and support it, is that the fundamentalist crowd and Dominionism or the end times thinking, all that, is very closely aligned with the state of Israel and in support of Israel. Would you not agree?
There's a trend called Christian Zionism that indeed is a Christian right trend that is indeed closely aligned with Israel. Yeah, that's correct.
But the Christians in general in America, I think, are generally in support of Israel. Well, that would play well for AIPAC if they're going to lobby for their interest in Congress, because the Christians as a community together encompass a great number of people.
Israel is a community together. Israel, excuse me, you invited me on the show. Israel is a community, encompasses a great number of people. It encompasses not just Netanyahu, who is essentially, as far as I'm concerned, responsible for war crimes in the occupied territories, but also encompasses great novelists, great artists, great thinkers like David Grossman, who take a firm stand against this. So I don't like to lump Israel as a solid entity any more than I like to lump, you know, I mean, when I'm out here talking about Christian fundamentalism and political fundamentalism, that is, I've always been encouraged that some of the strongest support I get is from self-described Christian fundamentalists who are just as opposed as anybody else to dishonesty in their political leaders, to the distortion of the Christian faith. So, you know, I kind of resist any kind of monolithic explanation of
forces. Well, here's what I would say is that we have both America and Israel have their leadership to fear in many cases. Is that not true? The corrupt leadership sometimes. See, that's the problem. The people want to do good out here, but sometimes that leadership, like you point out in your book here, they become very corrupt and very self-centered. And I think some of the leadership in Israel, like you pointed out earlier a few seconds ago, they have become corrupt too. So if the people are trying to get together and establish some kind of friendship there across these borders, I think that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
With power and defense and all this spending, it destroys that. It goes against that friendship.
I'm with you. Amen.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, in other words, it's like Solzhenitsyn said: the battle line runs through the heart of every man. So what you were saying earlier, I think, spoke directly to it, is that these men have not overcome their own inner battles and conflicts. So they're out there in sexism, whatever, you know, sex escapades or whatever. whether they're in England or America or Israel, it's happening all over the world. But men have not been able to control themselves in many ways like that.
That's true. That's true, definitely.
Jeff, you've done a great service to the world by writing the book, C Street and the Family, and I want to encourage everybody in the listening audience to go to Jeff Charlotte, that's SHARLETT.com. Look at your articles, look at your blogs, look at your books. You've got a great body of work already, and it's been a real honor and privilege having you with us. I'm not saying bye right now. I just wanted to make sure that you know that we feel very glad that you've joined us, and we support your work. And I can't think of a more important topic than to bring out the underbelly of the fundamentalism of happening within America that's undocumented, and it's going on. Perhaps somehow they need to become registered, or this. We need to show this to the light of day, and your work is doing a great effort towards that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Charlotte.
In fact, here's a book review, and quoting directly off of the Amazon site, talking about the family and this network of men. It says that heavily financed, multi-layered organization has been operating for decades and is today actively implanted within the U.S. military and so forth. And evidently, they are concerned a lot with defense, is that not? And they make a lot of money, I guess, by networking together in this defense area.
Yeah. I mean, that's been one of the real troubling aspects of this. And in fact, in the book, I tell the story of going to Uganda. Uganda is a East African nation, very newly oil rich, and of a lot of interest to a lot of American politicians. John Ashcroft has been over there on behalf of the C Street Gang and Senator Jim Inhofe and a lot of these folks going over there and looking at this. And I spoke to one of the leaders of the organization over there, a politician named David Bahati, who had done his political training in the United States, studying with the family, among others. And David Bahati is author of a piece of legislation called the Anti-Homosexuality Bill. What this bill will do is provide death penalty for homosexuality, 7 years in prison for what they call promotion, which is to say, just sort of talking about it like we are right now, 3 years in prison if you're heterosexual and you know a homosexual person, and you don't report that person within 24 hours, regardless, maybe it's your relative or whatever, 3 years in prison. So it's the most draconian anti-gay bill in America. And it became a kind of a political liability for a lot of the American politicians who were connected to it. And so they said, well, that goes too far. That's not what we meant. That goes too far. So I went over there to Uganda, and I was talking with David Bahati, and he said, they've assured me, though, that we still have a strong relationship. They can't follow me in this cause, but we can still cooperate together on, I'm just direct quoting here, on other biblical issues like defense contracts.
Oh.
Defense contract is a biblical issue, by their reckoning. I guess there are a lot of swords and slingshots in the Bible, but I don't know about tanks and these kinds of big weaponry deals, which is, in fact, what is happening in Uganda now is a big military buildup with American support.
Jeff, are you familiar with the database called Little Sis?
I'm not. Say it again. I didn't quite catch it.
Okay. Well, the concept, you know, how you have Big Brother. There's a database that's been started about 2 years ago, and it's called Little Sis. And essentially, it's a place to go and register important players, elites, people in power, their associations, what they're doing. It's not derogatory in any way. It's just a way for those of us in the know to become more educated and to connect the dots better.
What a great idea.
Yeah, and it's called littlesis.org.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, and the people that you find of concern, it would just be such a gift to all Americans and the whole world, frankly, if you would contribute to littlesis.org. I've made a couple of contributions, but I'm not near as well-read and as far-flung as you are, but...
I will check it out. And I got to say, it sounds like the music's on, so I will thank you for having me on the show. I've got to run to my next appointment.
Thank you very much, Jeff Charlotte. We certainly appreciate your endeavors and your work in this area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, good night. Charlotte will be back wrapping up that final segment of this hour.
Nobody
see you later. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with
Charlotte Littlefield. Well, that was a good guess.
That was quite an interview, was it not, Charlotte?
Yeah, it was wonderful. And I just, let's plug it again. Ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening audience, please go to jeffcharlotte.com. And he spells his last name Charlotte, Charlette.com. I think he is writing some crucial, important, inside information. And he seems to be a spectacular communicator, George. This was a gold mine.
He did make a point that some of the fundamentalists are some of his biggest supporters.
Well, but yes, that's interesting. And he made some very good points about, you know, not being registered. And these are the power elite that need to, we need this transparency. And I was so grateful that he heard me when I recommended the littlesis.org database. Because
yeah,
if we get people like Jeff Charlotte's books, and we start profiling these people on the littlesis.org database, and all of us 9/11 truthers, truth seekers, political activists, all the people that are working to transform the world for the better, we can better communicate with this database, littlesis.org. It's not derogatory. It's just the facts. You know, are they on the Council of Foreign Relations? You know, have they been affiliated with the Club of Rome? What are their activities? This is like our public intelligence gathering tool where we can quickly ascertain the networks and who's doing what and help each other deal with the power elite who are not serving the public in general, the little people. And so things are changing, and I was just very grateful that he heard me when I mentioned littlesis.org. So.
Right. I seem to disagree with him. You know, when he said that AIPAC and the family were not closely aligned, I think they have some very, very general concepts that they would agree on. In fact, Jerry Falwell was very close to Israel.
Well, I agree, George. You didn't have an opportunity to expand on that threat.
I know. We had to stay with the book, you know, and we got off subject there, topic there a little bit. But anyway, it's such a large topic to talk about, subject. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I think had you two had the time to take that thread, I believe you probably would have had a meeting of the minds on.
It's just that this is not something simple to talk about. This book said C Street, talking about the family, but it's a very large system of, political action committees, and this one is not registered, but it does the same thing, the family does. But that, you know what I really, in my research, I really got to see on this National Prayer Breakfast, they bring in, like you said, 4,000 people. It's actually sponsored by Congress, but with the family running it and organizing it.
See, and that leads, and that misguides people to think that this is a theocracy, a Christian theocracy. We are not.
We are a representative
democracy.
Here's what we have, though. The first settlers were Huguenots and Puritans. So they were Protestants because they were being persecuted in Europe and they wanted freedom of religion and worship. See what I mean?
But the point is.
So you can't ignore that totally either, see?
Yeah, but he made the point quite clear, you know, there is no God, you know, it's the art of the contract. And the art of the contract in our Constitution is so far the best that humanity has been able to come up to. And frankly, religion was withheld because in the Middle Ages, the church was the state.
That's where we didn't even have time to get involved in. There's a concept called Dominionism. Okay, and when we were in Houston down there at the Republican Convention in 2008, within Texas and within the nation, there has been a very strong contingency of Dominionist Christians that have been very actively political. See, and so they believe that the word should be enacted in the law in some cases. That would be an extreme case. They certainly believe in living out a Christian life in their public life if they were a senator or elected official. See what I mean? Now, I believe the family professes the same things, but then they succumb to the same problems and scandals of sex and everything else.
sexism, greed.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so what are they doing? They're just kidding each other. Everybody goes around it that I see, and they talk a good story, but they don't walk the walk, right?
Well, you know, George, yeah, and you know what we haven't even begun to get into is the mafia. The mafioso and the Catholic Church's influence on America and the world, that is a, I mean, we could do a year-long series on that one.
Well, and, if you look at World War II, and this is a good example, the rat lines were run by the church to bring Nazi scientists to this country and to South America and to protect them. Now, that's pretty straightforward to me.
And it wasn't.
And that tells a lot right there, I believe.
And it wasn't that long ago that the church was the state. The church beheaded you, burned you at the stake, controlled your beliefs, controlled what you read, and to think that it has just, you know, gone off quietly into the sunset would be very ignorant and naive on our part. No, the church in its various manifestations is alive and well in 2010. Yes, it does a lot of good humanitarian work, but it is tied to the money. It's tied to the power structure. It's very much entangled. We got some serious religious.
Well, I see two things, Charlotte. Basically, the real motivating factors were religious and political. The religious thing was the Protestants, the Huguenots, the Puritans wanting to establish their own religion and religious freedom. The second thing was to break off from the monarchy, see what I mean, of England.
But that
came later on after, the war and everything else, see what I mean? But it was the monarchy that the founding fathers rebelled against.
Well, and you had the Church of England rebelling against the Vatican.
But now here's an interesting and a very cogent point is that the monarchy was receiving their authority from God, the king, right? You see what I'm trying to say? So it's just another hustle down on the way to the form of truth. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, what's really frightening, though, is when you
and if you look at our founding fathers, they wanted to set up something where all men were kings, not a king over men.
Right.
You see what I mean? And
absolutely.
So that is the beauty of what they started out. Now it's being reversed, all this federal power and everything and money, see?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of esoteric information that would be helpful to understand and to know when you talk about these things. Christianity is an ancient form of sun worship. Judaism is an ancient form of Saturnian or Saturn worship. We're talking astrotheology here. A lot of what we consider today to be our sacred spiritual religions have been handed down to us over the thousands of years. And if you are truly into comparative religion and you're willing to do the homework, you can discover a lot about the scriptures, the Bibles, all the sacred scriptures from all over the world. And it's definitely...
There is something to that, Charlotte. We've latched on. Of course, our motto is, our little motto here, or our little slogan, is through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. Now, that saying is not limited just to Christians benefiting, but the atheists, the agnostics, the secular humanists. If they start really forgiving themselves and others, they too will benefit along with the Christians.
Well, and forgiveness is a human trait. It's a human action. It's not something that requires an invisible God.
Yeah, this is proactive, and it's something that you can do yourself for yourself.
And if you don't live with a forgiving heart, you end up in a cycle. I've heard it explained recently, like, you know, you're on top, you're joyful, you're winning, and then you're losing the battle, and you're
whatever. I posed a question to Jeb earlier about ego, but he seemed to think it was too deep or something, was it? Or not?
Well, George, I think people's interpretation of that word is quite broad, and I don't know that he understood your definition of the word ego. Do you want to open the phone lines for the next hour? I've got a lot of...
Yeah, we're going to have open lines, and what's that number?
Oh, you had to ask me, didn't you, George?
It's 1-800-259-5791.
We'll look forward to it on the other side of the break. We'll see you there.
We're going to have some updates, too, on some voter U.S. Supreme Court appeals.
And news, 9/11 news. Well, and some 9/11 news.
Okay, thank you, Charlotte, for being with me this evening. Our esteemed co-host, this is George Butler, The Secret Truth. Be right back. Thank you, Rachel, and all those good hands at GCN, too. Love all y'all up there. Okay.
Oh,
yeah, you betcha. Brady, even Brady,
love y'all.
He can have to see it a little bit, too, man. Thank you, Brady.